Good morning. Today I'll be talking about unintentional overdose death following release from the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. Just to give a background, previous studies have shown high mortality rates among former state and federal prisons, with the leading cause of death most often being overdose, especially in the period immediately following release. There are a number of hypotheses as to why, one being that there could potentially be a physiological decrease in tolerance during abstinence from abstinence of drugs during incarceration, and so subsequent return to drugs at the same levels could potentially lead to overdose. Additionally, individuals may face difficulty transitioning back into the community, and so because of that, they could return to their old lifestyle prior to incarceration. There's also a hypothesis that celebratory drug-taking behavior upon release could contribute to increased risk of overdose mortality. And then the criminal justice populations are inherently highly drug-involved. Many are incarcerated for drug-related reasons, and so this could potentially be just an inherent risk factor. With this being said, less is known about risk of overdose following release from city and municipal jail systems, where length of stay is often much shorter than in state and federal prison systems, and comprehensive drug and mental health treatment programs are less available. So the purpose of the study was to assess risk of overdose death following release from a municipal jail system, and I should specify and say that we only looked at unintentional overdose death. This was a retrospective cohort study of inmates released from the Philadelphia Department of Prisons between January 1, 2010 to December 31, 2015. We matched all former inmates to the death certificate files we have from Vital Statistics, and then we also matched them to the unintentional overdose death data from the Philadelphia Medical Examiner's Office. And the reason why we did this is because the Philadelphia Medical Examiner's Office has complete toxicology testing, as well as drug scene investigation notes and that sort of thing, to better be able to understand intent, because we really only wanted to look at unintentional overdose. So to be included, we only looked at those between the ages of 15 to 84. And the final release reason had to be release into the community. And so people that were released or people who had a change in custody, so they were sent to state and federal prisons or released to U.S. Marshals, we excluded them from the analysis. Additionally, deaths that occurred during the incarceration time were excluded. Just to give an overview of the Philadelphia Department of Prisons, contrary to its name, it's a municipal jail system. And it has six main housing facilities, one of which is females only. It incarcerates individuals awaiting trial, sentencing, or transfer to state prisons, those serving sentences of less than 2 years, and those who violated parole or probation. On average, they have 30,000 intakes per year, and in quarter four of 2015, the average daily population was 7,800 individuals. So on to the results. So during the time period from 2010 to 2015, there were over 75,000 released inmates. They made up a total of over 148,000 total releases, so many individuals were incarcerated multiple times during that study period. The mean length of follow-up was 3.5 years, and we calculated this by taking the release date to the censor date, which was either December 31st, 2015, or death. And if an individual had subsequent incarcerations, we excluded the time that they were incarcerated from their follow-up time, their subsequent incarcerations from their follow-up time. The mean incarceration time was 8.4 days. And just to put this in perspective, studies that have looked at this in state and federal prison systems, the mean incarceration time is normally between 1 and 2 years. So this is definitely a much shorter time period. The median age upon release was 31 years old, and it was a predominantly male and non-Hispanic black population. And 7.8% had a documented serious mental illness while incarcerated. So in total, 1,924 former inmates died after release, and 631 of those were from unintentional drug overdose. 1,293 died from non-overdose causes. And the median time from release to death was 311 days. Opioids were the most common substance involved in overdose fatalities. 82.8% had an opioid involved, with the most common opioid being heroin in 61.5% of deaths. Additionally, in Philadelphia, we have seen increases in fentanyl starting in 2014, and so 12.4% of those had fentanyl involved. Additionally, cocaine was very common in 54.5%, and also benzodiazepines in 46.3% of overdose fatalities. Polysubstance use was very high. 77.8% of individuals had multiple substances being detected, with the most common combinations being an opioid and benzodiazepine, opioid and cocaine, or the combination of the three. And then the specific opioid involved was most often heroin. So next, I calculated standardized mortality ratios. And so I used indirect standardization to calculate the SMR. And basically what this means is I used stratum-specific rates for the people who weren't incarcerated, the overdose deaths who were never incarcerated, to compute risk estimates for the expected number of deaths in the non-incarcerated population in Philadelphia. And so I use census data for the denominator. And this method accounts for corresponding population time in the study population, so the individuals that were incarcerated. And so the SMR is basically a ratio of the observed number of deaths among the incarcerated population over the expected number of deaths among the non-incarcerated population. And we were able to adjust this for age, sex, and race ethnicity. So we found that former inmates had higher risk of overdose death compared to the non-incarcerated population of Philadelphia. So those who were formerly incarcerated had 5.86 times the risk of death as those who were never incarcerated during the study period. Additionally, across all age, sex, and race ethnicity categories, risk was higher among former inmates, and particularly higher for those between the ages of 15 to 24, females, and white non-Hispanic individuals. Additionally, because it's often risk is highest in the first few weeks after release, I did look at this as well, and I found that the first 2 weeks had the highest risk, so those who were previously incarcerated had 45.6 times the risk of overdose as the non-incarcerated population of Philadelphia. And this was not seen in the non-overdose deaths. In the first 2 weeks, there was the results weren't significantly different. Actually, the observed was the same as the expected. So this is just a graph looking at the mortality rate by week since release. And so the dark blue is the overdose deaths. And as you can see, the rate is highest in the first 2 weeks after release, and this isn't seen in the non-overdose deaths. Next, I created hazard models comparing demographic and incarceration-related risk factors for overdose deaths among former inmates. And so I adjusted these for age upon release, gender, race, ethnicity, length of incarceration, behavioral health caseload, which essentially means they were seen by the Philadelphia Department of Prisons for some sort of behavioral health-related issue. Unfortunately, we aren't able to get at the granularity of what they were actually seen for, but it just says that they were seen. Whether or not they had a documented serious mental illness and release year. And the reason why we wanted to include release year is to account for changing drug trends. And so fentanyl started to emerge in 2014 and 2015. And so we wanted to be able to control for this in the model. So hazard of overdose death among former inmates is higher with older age groups. So the 15 to 24-year-old age group was the reference group, and they had lower the hazard ratio was higher across all age groups compared to the 15 to 24-year-old age group. Additionally, hazard of overdose deaths among former inmates is highest among non-Hispanic white individuals. So both black non-Hispanic individuals, Hispanic individuals, and people of the other race categories have lower hazard of overdose death as compared to the white non-Hispanic population. Additionally, those with a serious documented illness while incarcerated had a higher hazard of overdose death They had 1.79 times the risk of overdose death as compared to inmates that didn't have a serious documented illness or documented serious mental illness. Additionally, those who were on the behavioral health caseload had a lower hazard of overdose death following release from the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. So this is just showing that it seems like being seen for treatment may actually be effective. Who would have thought? And so this is just a good, I guess, good finding. And then so length of incarceration and sex were not significant in the model. So in conclusion, previously incarcerated individuals have a much higher risk of overdose death than those not incarcerated during the study period. Risk of overdose death is highest in the first 2 weeks following release. And then the hazard of overdose death among former inmates is highest among older age groups, white non-Hispanic individuals, and those with a serious mental illness. And then length of incarceration does not impact hazard of death. Some limitations, we weren't able to capture releases from the state prison system. We just didn't have access to that data. Additionally, because we used overdose information from the Philadelphia Medical Examiner's Office, because it was robust, we could only include overdoses that actually happened in Philadelphia because that's where the medical examiner has jurisdiction. Additionally, there could have been errors in the Philadelphia Department of Prison database. For example, we wanted information on type of charge, but they don't actually have that in a way that's easily extractable. So we wanted to see if it was a drug-related crime, would that be a good predictor? Additionally, we have no information on non-fatal overdoses, and anecdotally, we have heard in Philadelphia that a number of people being released have actually been reversed, which is good, but we have no way of capturing that. And so that is another limitation. So some recommendations, increased jail-based interventions. So mental health counseling and therapy, opioid maintenance therapy, and detoxification. So currently in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons, if you're on methadone when you come into the prison, you can continue methadone treatment. However, they don't start people on medication-assisted treatment while incarcerated. And initiating medication-assisted treatment has been shown to be effective at reducing recidivism, community reentry into drug and alcohol treatment, improving community reentry into drug and alcohol treatment programs, and things such as that. And then additionally, we recommend increasing harm reduction counseling while incarcerated, so letting people know about the risks of overdose. Additionally, we recommend planning for transitions from jail back into the community. We know this can potentially be difficult because they are in jail for such a short period of time, but this could potentially be a good idea. And then take home naloxone upon release from the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. And actually, the mayor did allocate money towards the purchase of naloxone, and some of this will be going to the prison system, which we are excited about. And so I just wanted to acknowledge the people in the medical examiner's office, as well as my mentors, and then also the people from the Philadelphia Department of Prisons and my fellowship from CSDE and SAMHSA.
So do we have any questions? Can we please get you guys to step up to the mic? We are recording the questions as well.
This was a really nice, well-designed study. I was just wondering, did you look at any other coexisting disease conditions or if there were any injuries at all in this population from the death certificate information?
So I looked at the second most common cause of death was homicide, but I didn't look at any other diseases.
Hi there, Bob Brewer, Chronic Disease Center at CDC. I'm sorry I missed the beginning of your presentation, so I don't know how much detail you had about the disposition of these inmates when they were released, but it certainly occurs to me that one of the reasons why they might be at particularly high risk of death shortly after leaving prison is they're going back to the environment where they were before and therefore having access to drugs that in many cases result in their death. But what about others that might have been released into a halfway house kind of an arrangement, if that's even available, or might have otherwise left the area? Do you have any information about that, and in turn, whether or not there was a differential risk in those who left the area and went in perhaps to a less dangerous environment relative to those who did not?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have information on where they ended up, because I do think that probably people that have stable housing upon release probably have better outcomes, but unfortunately, we aren't able to capture that. The prison data system is, they have information and they were really great and helpful, but some things can definitely be improved.
Got it. Yeah. It just might be helpful for informing other policies.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree.
Barbara Gabella from Colorado. Very nice. Thank you so much. I had also a question about disposition in a more general question, and that is, are they under probation when they're released?
That I don't know. I think it depends on the person.
Okay, because one of the things that Denver in Colorado is considering is to have probation officers have a master's in social work to provide and coordinate services rather than former law enforcement. And so if you had that information, that might be helpful too for places like Denver.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Thank you.